I'm going to go back more than 20 years now, but when I used to work in an office downtown, and there was a guy I used to work with, Fred, who had the desk right in front of me, which, if you think back to what it was actually like to work with other people, you know, like back in the olden days when people worked together in the same place, if you think back to then, what that meant when you worked by, like, with the next desk with somebody is that you chatted a lot throughout the day. You know, you sort of, whatever was going on, you started to chat about it. And looking back, I, you know, with this guy who was near in front in the desk in front of me, I guess he was kind of cynical. Fred would say things and I'd just be like, oh, man. You know, I could just sort of try not to roll my eyes. I'm not very good at that, but I try. You know, whenever some political scandal or decision he didn't like was made by the government, he'd say things like, well, what are you going to do? They're all corrupt. Or if someone in the office did something foolish or screwed up in some way, he goes, well, that guy's never going to change. He's always been that way. You know, and he always said things like, I remember one of his expressions, well, a tiger can't change its stripes. You know, or he'd say, oh, that's just human nature. That's what we're base animals. We're built that way. And at one point, I sort of got tired of it. And I said, come on, Fred, you really believe people are incapable of change? Doesn't that sound kind of hopeless? I can't believe that. He said, well, it's really hard for a person to change. And I said, yeah, maybe, but things that are worthwhile are usually hard. Otherwise, they wouldn't call them worthwhile. I remember saying to Fred, you quit smoking. Wasn't that hard? Wasn't that worth the effort? Wasn't that a change that you made in your life? I don't know that I convinced him or changed him from being cynical, but I know I'm right. Change is hard. The changes we've gone through over the past year have been so, so difficult. The changes we're going through this week with a tighter lockdown and the curfew is really, it can be disheartening. It is really hard. But I have to believe they're going to be worthwhile, though. Or else why would I want to even make those changes? Because change is hard. Changing our lives is harder. Changing ourselves is harder still. How many of us made New Year's resolutions to change something in our life? You know, to eat healthier. Maybe you wanted to quit smoking. That used to be a big thing on New Year's Eve, but there's less and less people smoking. But maybe you're still one of them and you want to stop. Maybe you said, you know what, I'm going to drink less during this lockdown as opposed to the last one, because we saw, you know, the SAQ and the liquor stores, their sales went up throughout all of this. Maybe your resolution was just to live a little bit healthier lifestyle. Maybe your resolution was to try and become, you know, more patient or kinder or more generous, to work on some virtue in your life. But no one can make those lifestyle changes simply by saying, you know, I can't make the change just by saying I'm going to eat healthier or drink less. It's not going to happen just by saying it. I'm not going to become more virtuous just by saying I'm going to be more patient or generous or kind or courageous or forgiving or whatever. Changing ourselves is actually built upon thousands of small decisions to change something in our lives right at that moment. When Fred quit smoking, it wasn't by waking up and saying, I'm a non-smoker now. It's by thousands of small decisions not to have a cigarette at that moment. I know, I sat right in front of him as he made those decisions. Becoming more virtuous, changing anything in our lives is a series of small decisions in the moment. You become a more generous person by deciding to give more of what you have right in the moment, in any situation. Not by saying, I'll be more generous when I've accumulated X amount. You become more generous in the moment. You're not going to become a more resilient person in the face of this lockdown by just saying, oh, I'm going to be more resilient this time. No, you have to take steps. You have to make small decisions. You have to start looking for goodness and lessons and hope in the small setbacks. Not by saying, you know, I'm going to be more resilient when some tragedy befalls me. It starts now. Change is possible, but it starts with small things, and it starts now. Becoming a better version of yourself is possible, but it takes concrete steps, and it takes starting them now. Making the world a better place is possible, but it takes concrete steps, and it takes starting it now. You know, the people gathered on the River Jordan to hear John, they wanted change. Their life was hard and sometimes cruel, and they wanted something to change immediately. And many saw John as the Messiah. That's why they went out there. They said, maybe this is the Messiah. Maybe this is the one person who's going to bring about change in the world. It's going to change our political system, change our economic system, change whatever it is that they wanted to see change. John tells them he's not the Messiah, that he isn't the answer to all their problems. And he tells them that nothing is going to change unless you first are willing to open yourself up to being changed. John was inviting people to be baptized in the Jordan, to be immersed, because that's what baptism means. The word baptize means to immerse. And he was inviting them in this context to immerse themselves into a new way of being, a new way of seeing the world. And you know what they did? Many of those people were willing to try. They made the decision to be baptized, to cast off their old way of life and immerse themselves into something new. They recognize that nothing will change unless they are willing to change. And so they decide to. And Jesus sees this, and he wants to show his solidarity with them. He's living through the same hardships and cruelty and domination that they are. This man who is the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Son of the Most High, all those titles that we heard attributed to Jesus just a couple of weeks ago, just the week before Christmas. This man accepted the baptism of John because he also wanted the world to change. He wanted the kingdom of God to reign. The baptism of Jesus marks the beginning of his public life. It's from that moment that he begins to preach and to teach and to attract followers. But what does he preach? Basically, he says, yes, he is the Messiah, but therefore, the kingdom of God is among us. It isn't external to you. It isn't external to all of us together, gathered together. It is among us. It is Jesus Christ who makes the kingdom present. It's the Messiah. What does Jesus teach? Well, he says that the commandments can be summed up in this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And many from that crowd, decide to follow Jesus as his ministry begins. Once they realize Jesus is the one to whom John is referring when he says, the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's that immersion in the Holy Spirit that gives the power to change. Not to change the outside things, not to change the world, but to change ourselves, to change our lives, and therefore the strength and courage to change the world. Jesus Jesus is the Messiah who has come to redeem the world, to transform it radically. But his two commandments are about changing our hearts. Not changing our political structures or our politicians, not changing our healthcare system or the vaccine rollout or lockdown plan, not changing our economic system. Jesus's commandments are about you. They're about me. They're not about the them. It's you and me, not some anonymous, amorphous other. He says, love God. You love God with all your mind, all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Change your heart. Open your heart to love God, to know his love, and to return that love. Open your heart to love your neighbor, to see the goodness in them, see the struggles that they have. And change your heart in order to change the world's. That's the essence of the Christian message. Jesus is the Messiah. He came so that you can be immersed in his love and compassion and his Holy Spirit. And he came not so that the world would change, but so that you could change. And in turn, play your part in inviting others into that same transformation in Christ. That's how we change the world. G.K. Chesterton, the early 20th century author and essayist, said, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. It's not been tried and found wanting. It's been found difficult and not tried. We who call ourselves Christians must first and foremost listen to Christ. We must first and foremost immerse ourselves in him and in his Spirit. It isn't complicated. As Chesterton said, it's difficult, but it isn't complicated. And it is oh so worthwhile. It's worthwhile to place Christ at the center of our lives. It's not always easy. There's going to be fits and starts to it, but it is worth the effort because it brings about so much peace and resiliency and even joy in the face of suffering, even in the face of another lockdown. It is worth it to love our neighbors enough to look for what is good and honorable in them and to love them enough to invite them into that transformative relationship with the Lord. Everything you want to change in the world starts by letting yourself be changed. Let yourself be baptized, be immersed into Jesus' love and mercy and his compassion, and be immersed into his Holy Spirit. You know, we have, here in Quebec anyway, another 4 weeks of lockdown. Who knows if it'll be longer, but maybe we can take that 4 weeks. We can challenge ourselves during that 4 weeks. We can challenge ourselves to make the changes and to give Christianity a try. Yes, it's difficult, but it doesn't mean it's not worth trying. It doesn't mean that it's not worth making the daily decision to put Christ at the center of our lives, making the daily decision to pray more, to read more scripture, to pray a rosary, whatever it takes in your daily life to make the small decisions, because it's a bunch of small decisions, to put the Lord at the center of your life right here, right now. Christianity has been found difficult and left untried. Let's make the decision during these next few weeks to give it a try. To say yes to the invitation that Christ makes to you. The invitation to be welcomed into his kingdom of peace and love and compassion. I think if we do that, not only will we change, but we can begin to change the world.